He has been blazing a trail since he came on the scene a few years ago. Now he's taking even greater steps in his career, moving in further positive directions with a new record deal and all of that. Grammy-nominated singer and songwriter, reggae artist, Protégé is our guest on the telephone. Morning, Protégé. How you doing?
Hey, how are you going, man?
How you doing, boss?
I'm great.
Yeah?
As can be.
In these times of the pandemic and all that, right?
I tell you.
First of all, you're fully awake, Protégé?
Yeah. Awake from like 6 o'clock, right? You know, I'm going to go to bed early.
So you're good to go. Not a problem. How are you dealing with this pandemic, though, Protégé? I mean, has it slowed you down?
It has slowed me down in terms of shows and touring and stuff. Not in terms of, like, making music. I built my own studio at the end of last year and basically up in the hills. So I'm just quarantined off at my studio because, you know, I built a house with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm just up here, just isolated, doing music, inviting over producers and artists in, like, you know, one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to make music and hold a vibe. All the artists are here, so it's a dope thing to can be linking up with everybody, but it's challenging same way.
Yeah, you say all the artists are there at that same location?
No, I mean in Jamaica. But
Many
of the artists have came up here and visited and
gotcha.
Done work, like a good roster have followed up here.
Okay, cool. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the impact, though, of this whole pandemic on the entertainment industry? What are you picking about there? Are people struggling, suffering, or is it just a rough time that they're going through? What are your thoughts?
I think people in every field that there is right now are going through rougher times. And obviously for artists, like you're talking about, you know, touring, you're talking about just a lot of impact. Globally, even radio stations like losing advertising, so have to be laying off staff, so less representation on radio, like people that work at the billboard that would be supporting Caribbean music, you know, laid off. It's a far-reaching impact that I don't think we're able to see the full reach of it right now.
Mm-hmm. Hope it doesn't get much worse. You've had several tour dates that you've had to reschedule. I think some were rescheduled to August and September of this year. Any word on whether
those will be? I'm pretty sure those will. I do not expect to be touring for the rest of the year. I've gone ahead and take my mind off of touring for 2020 because
mm-hmm.
I don't foresee it opening up back. So we lost a lot of shows so far, like at least 40 plus shows so far. Me and Leela are supposed to be on tour right now with Savannah as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just part of it. Everybody has got through it, so you just have to find a way to adapt, you know?
Yeah.
Adaptation is the most important skill in the world.
Right now. Industry experts, Protégé, and observers call you one of the forefront figureheads in what has become known as the reggae revival movement. Is that a label that you readily accept?
You just have to work with what's put out there more time, you know. So, I mean, I've done, you know, with the reggae revival is a term that some people have a problem with, but it's just a way to classify what's happening now. And I'm glad to be a part of such a great movement with so many brilliant artists that I love and respect as well. And a lot of them look up to me for certain guidance and advice and stuff. And I appreciate that. It makes me humble to know that people will seek me out or value my opinion. So
mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
All right. How did the label Indignation Collective get started? Let's go there.
It started in 2014 when I had just done my two first albums with Don Corleone Records. And then I felt I was at a point where I wanted to execute my own vision somewhere. So I was like, I always wanted to run a label and sign artists and do that stuff. But I knew it would take time. I had to establish the label by using the artist I had, which was me. And my first release I ever put out on my label was Who Knows, which was like a massive, massive song that I did in conjunction with Winter James and his label Overstand. And the record label was birthed by then, and I just did put my first album, Ancient Future, out. Then I signed Savannah, and for 2 years we were working on developing her career. And then I signed Lila Ike in 2017 or 18, and that's been growing since.
Mm-hmm. Is that a direction that you will continue to head in, meaning signing artists to the label? You're always on the lookout for emerging talents that you can help and work with?
I'm always looking out for talent I can help and work with, but don't necessarily mean I'm signing them to the label, because once you do something like that, you know, it becomes a different level of responsibility, and it's also you want to be able to give the artists on your label the focus that they deserve. So I'm in not in a rush to do quick expansion. I'm all about quality over quantity. So right now, just working on myself, Lila and Savannah. You know, we do some work with Jazz Elise as well. Mm-hmm. And just taking my time on growing. You don't want to spread yourself too thin in this world.
Okay. How did the partnership with RCA come about? I'd love to hear that.
It's crazy. I was in LA after a tour, and I went to this party that... what's her name again? Kylie Jenner.
Uh-huh.
A Kylie Jenner party. She was launching her Adidas brand.
Okay.
And I was there with a friend of mine, Joseph, and he introduced me to this guy called AK that was brand manager at Adidas. And he said, you know, he's leaving Adidas to go work with his cousin because his cousin's going to go over to RCA and head up marketing. And they're both fans and they wanted to meet me. Mm-hmm. And I went to the studio at like 2 o'clock in the morning, man, like was super tired. And I was like, nah, I don't think it's going to make any sense. Because, you know, people say things a lot.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me just go and check it out. And I sat in there, we're sitting in the studio smoking all night talking. And he was just telling me that he wanted to sign me to RCA. And then when I played him Lila's and Savannah's stuff, he was like, oh my God, like, I don't think you should even sign as an artist. I think you should sign as a label. And I was like, yo, that's exactly what I wanted to do. So he was just fascinated with the work we were doing already. And he was like, yo, I'm going to bring you for a meeting. We went in, met the head of RCA, and they were just loving what we were doing and just kind of gave us a deal that is not very common. Kind of let us run our own show and they give us the support we need. So it's still going to be like authentic Jamaican music, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get a little more information from your protege as to what makes it that much more unique than say, the average deal that we've been hearing about through the years. You have greater autonomy?
Like, look, so no, none of us are signed to RC, meaning Protege, Lila, and Savannah are mm-hmm. signed to my label, Indignation Collective.
Yes.
So we all have contracts with Indignation, get me?
Mm-hmm.
And then Indignation, or me as the CEO of Indignation, signed a deal with RCA for my label. So they have basically, it's like a joint venture, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I hand in my album, I do my creative, I basically run my own show mm-hmm. with advice from them. So I decide when I want my album to come out, what songs I want in it, who I want to work with. It's basically just giving me the keys to run my own show, but with support and advice that I also cherish from them.
Mm-hmm. And you're able to hold on to the masters.
Bingo. That's the main thing.
That's the main thing.
I didn't want to give up my masters, and most deals you have to give up your masters. So
yes.
I'm just really appreciative that they're doing all of this for me and still giving me the ownership of my work. It's something I'm forever grateful to Archie, a.k.a. Peter Edge, all of those guys over at RCA.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that achievement, Protege. What can you tell us about upcoming projects now that you're with the RCA label? We already spoke to Lila Ike, and we've been playing I Spy, her first single. What else can we expect from this aggregation between yourself and Savannah and Lila going forward?
give thanks for the support from I Spy and the Rock and Groove and all of them things there, because we really need the support from radio. Radio is supposed to be there for supporting of records that can actually make it on a global scale.
Yes.
So we love to see the support that that music is getting. Actually, in about an hour, Dila will announce the date of her EP and her album cover. So that will be coming out very, very soon in this month, in about 2 weeks. So we're all trying to support her her record. So I'm sure we'll send it to you before it comes out. You can play like all 7 songs back to back and have a Lila day over there at your station.
All right. Protege the businessman. Go on, son.
Yeah. And then I'm going to also drop a new song this month. I haven't told anyone that yet. So I'm going to drop a new song this month as well. And then Savannah very early next month. And then all of us dropping projects throughout summer. So it could be a very busy summer for us. No traveling, but trying to still put out music to connect with the people and give them some music to listen to.
Yes. Good job. Good job. I want to go back a little bit, Protege, because you're now an in-demand artist all over the world, America, Europe, etc. But I don't think many persons actually are aware of the sacrifices that you'd have made in the early years of your career to get some kind of recognition. How difficult was it to break, say, in Europe, and what did it require at the initial stage of your career?
Just everywhere. So I eyed that the place. I saw that Europe was a place that was like supporting Jamaican music. So I always tried to. I went over there and I toured in the winter on sound system, like 12 shows, barely making any money whatsoever, but just planting the ideas there and like building up my fan base. I think my approach of doing albums was a big thing, because my first album that had Rasta Love on it really helped to put my brand out there globally. But it was just a lot of touring, like not making any money, coming home broke, but building up the fan base,
yes,
until it gradually, you know, keep putting out solid songs. Yo, when I was in Jamaica trying to break, you know, I would be the artist that would be standing up at the radio station for 3 hours waiting until different DJs came out.
Put you through that, because your mommy knew how to find
my
me.
My mom was on your case, bro. I remember that. Yo, make sure, like, it wasn't no laid back thing. Like,
yeah.
You know what it was too? We didn't have social media where you could think you're a star.
Mm-hmm.
You could post a song and get 5 comments and be like, okay, I've made it. There was none of that. So it had to be like, I had to be going at the radio stations, waiting on people, trying to convince them, yo, nothing in this life comes easy if it's worth it. So it's no different than anybody out there trying to make it in life right now.
Yeah. When you wrote the song Blood Money and you listened back to it, didn't you have some fears about putting that out? Any whatsoever?
Let me explain this to you. I wouldn't say I had fears, but obviously I know certain backlash and things that are going to happen, because when you're doing music, you have to study the psyche of the people that are going to be hearing your music. So whenever I say something in a song, I pretty much know all the reactions that can come from it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, when I'm writing music, it's not like I say, let me say something controversial. The thoughts just come to my head and I put them down. So when I put them down now, I really have this. The only thing I fear really is that if I don't stay true to the inspiration, it may go to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't want to be getting these ideas and thoughts and don't have the confidence to say them, because as an artist, you're supposed to be saying things that ruffle feathers, like. So for me, it's like when you do that, you know it's the truth and you know that it responds. And I think people love that song in all walks of life. And I think they appreciate the honesty and fearlessness in it.
And if
I'm going to be getting in trouble because the words that I say, well, then so be it. But it's like I have to, you know, be free to create.
And you suffered no negative repercussions since that song came out?
I don't know what you call negative repercussions, but it's been mostly positive. It's done a lot for my career. I'm sure some people don't like me for it, but people are not going to like you anyway, so it's like you just have to do what you want.
All right, but nobody called you up and say, yo, what kind of tune that you sent out, my youth? Nothing like that.
Nobody ever have my number, much less.
All right, it's 15 past 9 o'clock. We're wrapping up with Protégé. The collaboration between yourself and Chronix and Alicia Keys, Underdog, is doing well right now. Can you tell us how well it's doing?
It's a vibe, man. It's just global, you know what I mean? It's just put the music out there more globally. It's part of a remix for her single, Underdog. So it's just, you know, again, that's raising awareness. It was a vibe doing it. She's really chill. They love the vibes. And, you know, hopefully we can collaborate on some other stuff as well.
You actually met up with her in the studio?
Yeah. They flew us out to L.A. Listen, I was in studio with Chronix at my studio at like 10 in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And they linked me and asked me if I could be on a flight at 6 a.m. So we just wrapped up the session. I drove to the airport, went to L.A., spent the day in studio, did it, hung out in L.A. another day, and then came back home.
Mm-hmm. Alicia Keys looks like a really cool person. You found her that way?
She's super chill, bro. Like, she's just the coolest cat, man. We're just there chilling, talking all night. We were in studio till like 3 a.m. She was listening to my album, listening to Leela's album, Savannah's project, telling me, you know, supporting it. Like, even Swizz Beatz posted Leela's new song, I Spy.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, they're very supportive and they support the culture, so I can really respect that.
All right, we're going to close it out for now, Protégé. It's been great talking with you. We're very, very proud of what you've been doing, and we want to implore you to keep on keeping on. Before you go, just a positive word to young entertainers who are trying to make it like yourself. What would you want to leave with them this morning?
So Ollie, just keep working, you know, man, especially in a time like this, it's a good time to spend time on your craft and mastering what it is you do, so that when it is you do get the opportunity, you are ready. So that's the main thing I always tell artists, focus on the time that you have now to spend on your craft.
It's been great talking with you. I wish you continued success and all the best. Give my regards to Mummy, Lorna Bennett, and take care of yourself, Protégé. Be safe.